Well, let's turn, let's pray. I better slow down a minute. Whew, I've been preaching already. Lord have mercy, I must have had some gunpowder this morning or something. I did drink my cup of coffee, but you know. Hallelujah. All right. Praise you. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for your truth and your faithfulness. We thank you, Father, for blessing all the givers today, Lord, and all those that couldn't give. We pray for them. We ask you to bless them, Lord. Help us to be doers of the word of God. We thank you, Father, that as we hear today, that you will make your word real to us. How much you have loved us and cared for us, Lord. We thank you. And we give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. We love you, Father. Amen and amen. Now, we've been talking about a lot of different things, but we've talked about worship. We've talked about prayer. We've been talking about prayer on Wednesday night and Tuesday mornings, right? Hallelujah. Because we want a strong foundation. If we're going to walk with God, then we're going to have to listen to our heart, our inner man. We have to listen to what he's saying on the inside. Not all the clamor that we see going on the outside. We can't allow that clamor and all the things that we see happening affect our life. Sometimes we create our own battles. So, well, what do you mean? Well, we get to thinking on things that aren't so. So, well, what do you mean they're not so? We see the facts, but we forget about the truth of what God said. Now, we mentioned that the other night when we were talking about the prayer of commitment or the prayer of casting your care on the Lord. We worry about things that aren't necessarily going to happen for us, because our faith is not in what we see, but it's in whom we have believed, the greater one that lives on the inside. So, well, who's that greater one in there? It's Jesus himself, in the person of the Holy Spirit, in the person of your nature. Amen. God lives in us. Now, I said more there than most churches ever hear. God lives in us. He lives in you. When you were born again, you were changed. You're no longer a sinner. You're now a son or daughter of the living God. Does that mean you never make a mistake? It may not. But you don't have to. Because we were freed. We're freed from that desire to live unholy. The desire on the inside, the real you, the hidden man of the heart. We've talked about that. Where our heart has been changed. The heart of our being. What is the heart of something? That when we talk about, if we said, hey, the heart of Christmas. The heart of it is what you know on the inside, that Jesus came, that he was the Savior, that he's the one that produced love in my heart so that I love my family and I have a time that we make special because we're celebrating the King of Glory, the Lamb of God who came. When we talk about the heart of a tree, we don't talk about the branches out here. We're talking about the center of it. We're talking about that trunk, that vine that brings the life to all the rest of the tree. See, the heart of man, the center of our being, our spiritual man, is what has been changed on the inside. And that's what produces the fruit toward the outside. But if we never feed our spirit, see? If we don't feed that inner man with the Word of God. If we don't think a little bit differently. If we don't allow the Word of God to nurture that man on the inside. See, just like you need natural food. How many people like to go without food? I mean, it's not a lot of fun. You know, you miss 5 meals, 10 meals, 6 days, 7 days. You ever see those kids overseas? You know, you see those things on there? They got that belly that sticks out, not because of anything good. They've missed something. They don't have the nutrients they need because we have to eat. And when we don't fail to feed our spirit, the Word of God, then our spirit can become malnourished and weak. And then what happens? We feed our fleshly man. We watch things, you know, that are okay maybe, but they don't really feed our spirit. They feed our mind and they feed our desires. And, you know, we want to go here. Let's go to the movies. And there's nothing wrong with doing those things. But not above feeding our spiritual man. Not above serving the Lord. It's great to have a hobby in life. That's great and wonderful. I think there's some people that retire and they need to get a hobby. I learned that when I was a paper boy. Because their hobby was to make sure I was there exactly at the same time every day. And if I'm not, they're on the phone. My paper's running behind. What's the problem? You know, they didn't get to our pickup location at the normal time. Sir? I had one guy and he kept losing his paper. I'm not sure if his wife was picking it up or what, but he was complaining like every day. And finally I got a note that said, please call me. Well, it was 4 a.m., so I gave him a call. I said, your paper's here. You know, and finally it dawned on him, you know, after I said, I heard you had a little trouble getting your paper. He said, well, yeah, I have. Well, what time? And, you know, and by then I was finished. I never got another complaint from him. Hallelujah. I said, well, it's in the same place pretty much every day, you know, right there on the drive. So hallelujah. But anyway, I didn't mean to digress. It's good to have some things that we do in life and enjoy. He wants us to enjoy life. God does. But it is through the Spirit that we mortify the deeds of this flesh. You say, well, what are the deeds of the flesh? What are you talking about? Well, in this particular case, where Paul is going through the book of Romans, he's not so much talking about smoking and drinking and all those things. Although those are part of it. That's the first freedom. And many people reach that freedom when they come down here to this altar. They get the new nature. They receive a freedom on the inside and things begin to fall off their life. And before you know it, they say, well, I think I'll stop smoking. They couldn't do it before, but the life of God in them say, hey, I'm going to do that. I'm going to lay it down. And that's important. Those are important things. You know, we see them, they're not going to the bar anymore. You know, maybe they're still drinking a little bit at home, reading their Bible. You know, yeah, I've never had that problem, so I don't know what that's like. But, you know, some people, they're bound to it. Don't judge everybody just because they just got saved. You don't know their heart. You know, I remember Gary Carpenter would talk about it. He said, I'd sit down, I'd have my bourbon and Coke. I'd be drinking my bourbon and Coke, read my Bible, weeping like a baby. He said, a week later, went to bed a drunk, woke up sober. The Word of God brings life to our spirit, but we've got to feed it through the Spirit. That's Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans 8. I didn't know we were going to start at that verse, but that's okay. Hallelujah. Because I know the Lord wants to talk about it today. All right. Hallelujah. It says through. Yeah, I know it's 13. Yeah. I was just saying, let's start at 12. He said, therefore, brethren, you're debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. But think about what he said. Now, wait a minute. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. Okay. Not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But we are debtors to the Spirit. Why? Because we were purchased by someone. You're only in debt to somebody that paid your bill. Right? If I borrow from the bank, or somebody pays my debt, you know, you hear about that. They saved my life. I owe my life, you know. In other words, we have one debt, really, and that's to love people. That's our continuing debt that we cannot get rid of. It'll never be paid. It'll be for all eternity. We'll have to keep loving people. Hallelujah. Woo! Isn't that awesome? You get to love people. You say, well, I haven't had too good of experience with love. I've been hurt. I've been destroyed and everything else, and I understand that. And those are all true things. But it really, it affects our flesh and it empowers our flesh because it stirs our emotions to things. See, that's how the devil works. He's trying to get us to a place where we're hurt, we're bitter, we're unforgiving, and we don't want to deal with it. It hurts too much. And sometimes for a while, I think that could be a good thing. God has given us things in our body and in our life where we kind of protect ourselves. And he allows us until we come to that place where we're ready and we're willing to open our heart to him. And he comes rushing in. And sometimes it doesn't always feel real pretty. Sometimes it still hurts. We feel the hurt. But when our Father comes, he comes to bring a grace and he comes to bring a healing to our heart. Not just our spirit, but our natural being. See, we have a soul as well. Our mind, our will, our emotion, and sometimes we hurt there. But it's through the Spirit we bring the death of that pain. You said a death to it? Yes. Because God has power over you when we give it to him. He's given us power over our flesh. When we received Jesus, we received a nature that was then alive to him. We've talked about it before. You say, well, I've heard it 1,000 times, some of you. And that's okay. But we need to keep ourselves reminded that it's not by us trying so hard. It's by us allowing God to have his work on the inside. And we feed our spirit with the Word of God. We begin to allow our spirit to grow, to mature by doing the things that God's asked us to do in his word. Things like praying in the Holy Ghost. Things like forgiving. You say, well, that's really hard. Well, sometimes it is. But when we ask God for help, we can do it. We can do it. And you say, well, Lord, I don't feel like forgiving that person. You say, well, how do I do it then? You start out, Lord, you said to forgive. I don't want to forgive. I don't feel like forgiving, but if you'll help me, I'll forgive. So, Lord, what else did he say? He said, what? To pray for the enemy. We talked about that. Praying for our enemy. Why? Because Many times it was our enemy that brought the pain. We think they're our enemy, see? We're looking in the natural realm when our real enemy was Satan, and yeah, he used him. He used them to cause offense in our life or to cause hurt or pain. But when we begin to do the Word of God, then God's power kicks in. Because he said, my Word is full of power. See, there's a power that comes behind being a doer of that Word. There's a power that hooks up with your spiritual man, begins to bring a deliverance and a freedom and a healing on the inside of you, so that when I look back, I can now look back and say, oh, that must have happened to somebody else, even though it was me, and I remember it. See, as humans, we still remember things, but there's not the pain associated with it. Why? Because we begin to feed our spirit man and we find out who we really are. See, I'm son of John Zastra in the flesh. But in the spirit, I am the son of God. I am a child of the King. I'm someone that has a father that loves me, a father that cannot lie, a father that will never mistreat me, a father that cannot stop loving me and will not. That when I fail, he comes and he picks me up and he begins to talk to me and he puts his arm around me and walks with me. He said, son, we can beat this. We can beat this. A real father doesn't destroy his son. He takes him by the hand. He says, you want to beat this? We can do it together. I'll help you. I'll help you. Now, yes, the son has to make a decision still. We're all free moral agents. But if that son says, yes, I want to walk with you, Dad. See, there's a power. There's a freedom that comes, an acceptance that is received. We are accepted by our Father. We are accepted as a son or daughter of God. And you're accepted in the family of God. Even if a brother or sister was the one that hurt us, we're still accepted because we belong to God. We're still part of the family. We didn't get kicked out. God didn't just say, no, that's it. It's all for you. You're damaged goods. No, he takes those that are broken. He said he comes to heal the brokenhearted, to set us free, and it comes through dying to those things by the power of what? The Spirit. For if we live, 13, according to the flesh, we'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. See, a lot of times we want to say, well, the deeds of the body. Do we really think about what are the deeds of the body? Yes. We think about certain things, you know. It would be good if you didn't go out and commit adultery all the time. I don't see any kids. So. You know, if you're not running around, your flesh may like it. The body likes some of these things. It wants to tell you, hey, that's a good thing to do. Woo-wee! You know, and son, the Bible says sin is fun for a season. For a season, a certain amount of time. But how many know the things of this world, the Bible says, grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. They all get old and they all wear out and all the joys of it finally disappear. And you're left with a life that's broken. And you're like, I don't understand it. I was just trying to find love. I'm just trying to find love. And you have a father that's been watching saying, come. I want to love on you. I've got plans for you. I've got healing for you. I've got freedom for you. I've got grace for you. I've got ability for you. I've got strength for you. Oh, I love you. I love you. That's why I created you to be my child. I created you to come to me. And if you'll allow your spirit man to rise up, it'll set you so free. You'll say, wow, woo, I didn't know it could be so good. I do have a new father. I do have a father that loves me. I do have a father that cares for me. I've got a daddy in heaven that he won't let go of me. He won't fail me. He's not going to leave me alone. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's going to stick with me through thick and thin. No matter what takes place in my life, he will be there to set me free and to help me, to strengthen me, to stand by me, to help me to overcome. For as many as are led by that Spirit of God that's on the inside are the sons of God. When we allow that spirit man on the inside to begin to guide our life, and we listen down in our heart where God has written the commandments of his word in our heart. He's put his commandments in there. When we listen to our spiritual man, we know right and wrong, and we say, no, okay, I won't do that. That doesn't seem right. It doesn't bring me peace. I know I'm not supposed to go to that movie. I know I'm not supposed to do this or that or the other. I know I have to forgive that person if I want to move forward with God. By the Spirit. See, it's not by our fleshly action. Yeah, there's certain things we can learn. You can go and get counsel from a counselor and find out some things. And sometimes that can be very helpful. Because we begin to understand. See, we want understanding. But if we'll stay in there with our Father, there's nothing he won't do. There's no love he'll withhold from you. See, an earthly father can withhold things because they're imperfect. Maybe they didn't intentionally. Maybe they didn't do it intentionally. This is no condemnation to the men. No condemnation. Sometimes they withhold. Maybe they withheld their love. Maybe they didn't know how to love. Maybe they didn't, you know, have acceptance in their own heart. They didn't have love to love with. See, the Bible says God is love. And we all think we know what love is. Love is a commitment that you take and you said, I'm standing no matter what. Period. And I'll not draw back. Anybody ever have one of those friends you know you got? They've seen all your badness. You know, maybe you got one. They saw all your goodness. Yet they're still your friend. They're still there. The Bible says Jesus is one that sticks closer than a brother. And he said, I don't just call you servant, I call you friend. That's a covenant term. When he talked to Judas, Judas had made covenant with him. When he took of that cup and drank, ate of the bread and took of that cup, he made a covenant with the God of this universe. The covenant that Jesus made with man. He said, here we are, guys. I am this blood. And then he kissed him and gave him the treatment of what? Totally rejecting. Totally betrayed him. And then he was sorry about what he did. But I'm not sure that he really repented. See, man's sorrow doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires. But godly sorrow on the inside. When we really know that we've hurt God. It's one thing to hurt somebody. It's another thing to know we hurt God. Because he loves his creation. When we bring pain to somebody else, it should hurt us. In our spiritual man. On the inside. Oh, Father, forgive me. Help me, Father, to love. Help me to be kind. Help me to let goodness flow. Life flow. Where does that come from? It comes from him. comes from knowing Him. See, the person you hang around the most is who rubs off on you. Like it or not. You know, I mean, there's certain things that I'm sure I've picked up from my wife, some good, maybe some not so good. I'm sure there's things she's picked up for me, some good, maybe some not so good. Hopefully they were all good, but you know, that only comes when we have time with our Father and we feed our spirit the Word of God. We begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. We worship Him. We know Him. We begin to understand, oh, how much He loves us. I wish I could pour that love into every person. I wish I could take, open you up and just pour it in there. His love is it's hard to understand. It's beyond understanding sometimes. His presence comes and His love. I've had Him love me so much before. I've had to say, Lord, I don't think I can take anymore. Please, back off, you know. Does He? Nah. He don't. He just says, oh, son, come on. You know I love you. Hallelujah. Koryata la barfruko sepe. Hallelujah, rombra indilia hafki. Hallelujah, hallelujah, ribraha subraha shata. Aderi briot. It's not when we look to our natural man, but when we look to our spiritual man that life comes. Natural men can only help us so much. We need them. We need them. We need them to be like Jesus. We all need that. We need to be that somebody else. We need to be Jesus with flesh on. But this chapter starts out, well, you know, we need that. I'm just going to share my spirit today because I know there's things, there's all kinds of things we can teach. You know, but if our spirit's weak, it doesn't make any difference. We can't do that. We have to make a decision. I'm going to be a doer of what God's Word says. I'm going to be a man or a woman that prays, that seeks God, that has a relationship with the Father that I know He loves me. And if you don't know that, you need some help. We've got all kinds of scriptures on the love of the Father. I'll be glad to help you. I will bring them with you. I'll say them with you if we have to. Sit down and find the way to receive the love of the Father. I love you, Father. Now see, some people, they say, well, oh, that bothers me because I'm not sure what kind of love my Father has. Because all we have to relate to it is our earthly Father, who maybe they beat us or they yelled at us or made us feel bad and had bad emotions. And then they also gave us good emotions. So we get confused. I know I was confused for a while. My own self. Maybe we had a father that didn't pay the attention we needed, or that we thought we needed at least. Even if they did. I know, gal, her parents were great. But the enemy had so lied, and she believed the lies. See, it's not always just the parent. See, the devil can work on both sides. He works on two sides. They could have been the best or the most perfect parent they could be. But that child didn't receive it that way because the enemy comes to lie, to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a liar. And he's pretty good at it. That's all he knows how to do. That's really all he's good at. Trying to deceive people, see? That's really his greatest power. If he can get you to believe that lie. But you are accepted. Jesus did pay the price. I can overcome. I can receive the love of the Father. Whew, glory to God. And it's important that we can see that. Let's back up to the first verse here in Romans 8. Paul starts out this chapter. He says, there is therefore. Well, why is it therefore? We can take a look and see the other seven chapters that are before that. Well, shall we go back and read the other seven chapters? Not today. But I'll summarize for you. In Romans chapter 1, he said that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16, if you want the reference, and 17. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel is the righteousness of God. It's the one thing that makes us right with the King. Amen? Let me make sure I said that properly. Romans 1, 16 and 17 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is received from faith to faith, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. He said, this is a gospel of faith. This is a gospel that is received by faith. This is a gospel that's full of power. This is a gospel that cannot be defeated. It is the power of God to make you right with Him. When I received Jesus, my nature was changed. I'm no longer a sinner. Well, that gets you thrown out of some churches. But the Bible says you became a son and daughter of God. Your nature became one of righteousness. You were born again in true righteousness and holiness, and that nature moved on the inside of you, and now it is working with all power to push out all unrighteousness. When you yield to it, you see it happen. We're seeing it happen in many people's lives in here. Continually pushes back. And leads a force of righteousness and holiness and what is the right thing to do. And yet, sometimes he speaks to you and you don't listen. Or I don't listen. Or we don't listen. But it doesn't change the fact that he was there. It doesn't change the fact that righteousness was trying its best. Because he says in the second chapter there, in verses 13 and 14, we see it again. It says, let's start at 12. For as many as have received the law will also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who did not have the law, that's you and I, hallelujah, by nature, do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves. Verse 15, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts are accusing or else excusing them. Yes, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's our spiritual man on the inside. The voice of our spirit dictates to us because that law was written in our heart. It's written in there. You have been changed. You're not the same. And over in the third chapter, he begins to talk about those that weren't born again. What are they? We were something before you received Jesus. But now, verse 21 says what? Now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and in all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. He is saying here, I justified you. I made you righteous. Now, Abraham had accredited righteousness, just like you have an accredited body, glorified body to your account. You don't have it yet, but it's credited to you. You will receive it, whether, you know, on your death or in your, you know, when Jesus returns and the final trumpet sounds and everything takes place. Hallelujah. Be changed. Your body's not going to stay the same. You've got one credited to your account. But see, this righteousness was credited to Abraham, but you have that righteousness. You've got the true righteousness. It lives on the inside of you. You said, well, how do you know? Well, see, when we turn the page here, I said there were several chapters before chapter 8. Chapter 4, Abraham, verse 13, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. In other words, they didn't know they were bound in sin until the law came. They were so lost in sin and there was just darkness on the inside of them. Their spirit wasn't even light. They had to be told, you are a sinner. Keep this law. I can't. I know. God said, I know. The law was to point to Christ, who we must have. And once we receive Christ, then righteousness came. We're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. We talked about that. You're saved by grace. What? Through faith. It's not just enough to believe. Because I got to thinking about that. I used to have a guy, and I didn't know what to say. I was a young man, 13, 14, and he worked for my dad. And said, well, you just believe, right? Well, yes. But what do we believe? You must believe that God is, number one, that he is, and that Jesus died for sin and was raised to life. For our justification, we must believe that. It's not just believing that Jesus is who he is. The devils believe that. The Bible says the devil believes and he trembles. But we have to put faith in that. We have to mix faith with the truth. Faith is a firm persuasion. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And let's just write down a few verses here. Verse 22. No, let's see. Yeah, verse 21. Let's go ahead and read 20. He did not waver at the promise of God, Abraham, right? Through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being convinced or fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. We have to be convinced that Jesus is the Savior, that he did die, that he was raised. If you don't believe that, some people even believe it. But how many know? The Bible says we believe in our heart, but we also have to confess that with our mouth. And many times we get caught up, well, I said those words. It's not about saying the words, it's about your heart speaking. See? It's more about the heart than it is even what you say, what words you say. Because when we speak with our heart, there's a change in our life, our attitude, our demonstration. We demonstrate life. What about the mute guy? He can't speak at all. It's more speaking enough out of our heart, see? So we're confessing with the heart, with our spirit, man, with the innermost part of us. We make it known that Jesus is Lord of our life. He is king on my heart. Not me, him. Hallelujah. Woo! Man. Hallelujah. And then we go on over and we see here in the fifth chapter, therefore having been justified by faith, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. through whom we have access by faith unto this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Paul is setting us up here. He's saying, look here. You've received. There's a power in the gospel for you. Don't be deceived. Don't let anybody trick you. Don't go for another gospel. Stick with what I've given you. Listen to your heart, your conscience. It's going to speak to you because that law is already written in your heart. See, it's not those who don't do it. It's those who do it. Paul said, now, listen, all those Jews can keep all that law, but how about those that have it in their heart and they're doing it anyway? Because see, they didn't think the Gentiles could be saved. They're not Jews. That was the problem of the day, see? He's saying, oh, they can be saved too. I preach to the Jew and the Gentile. He said those Gentiles can come in. Anyone that's not a Jew was a Gentile, basically. I mean, I'm just giving the general idea. See, all of us, we're not really in the Jewish line, per se. Most of us, maybe some of us are. I'm 1/32nd Jew, just to let you know. No, I'm kidding. My uncle told me that. So. Anyway, somewhere in there we had one, so praise the Lord. And there may be one in your line. But it's that we are in Christ. See, all those natural things were part of that, but it brought us to see the law, the whole purpose of that law. He said, you've got to have Christ. You've got to have the final sacrifice. You've got to believe in that. That's what justifies you. You know, we say, just as if I've never sinned. Justified. Made righteous. Made right with God. The penalty was paid for me. Hallelujah. I've been changed. We're not the same. We go over into the 6th chapter and he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that God may, that sin may abound? That grace may abound? I'm sorry. God forbid. Certainly not. Certainly not. Or God forbid, the King James says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Don't you know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the newness, raised by the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of that life. There was a resurrection that took place on the inside of you. When Jesus died, you and I died in with him because he was the ultimate perfect sacrifice. There had to be a man for a man. There had to be a perfect man for man. There was a lamb. There was lambs all along. There were all kinds of sacrifices, and all the blood of bulls and goats could not eradicate the sin. It could cover it, but it could not eradicate it. It was a type and shadow of the Christ that was to come and the change that would take place on the inside of you. When Jesus moved in, you were set free and there was a power given to you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then Paul moves over into the 7th chapter where he talks a little more about the flesh. He said, oh, what kind of man am I? I'm a wretched man. I'm undone. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 13. He then he says, has then that which is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might be a pure sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment, he's talking about the law, might become exceedingly sinful. He said the law was good. It brought me to understand I'm dying. I cannot keep it. He said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. Why? Because he was talking about the flesh person. In other words, the one that was still under sin. He said, I was under sin. I was dead once, but I was alive once, he says. But the law came and it brought death to me. I realized I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need help. And what's going to happen to me? He said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Hallelujah. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, verse 24, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the flesh, the law of sin, he said, there is therefore now, right now, there's no condemning sentence that can be carried out upon you any longer to those who are in Christ Jesus. For you do not live, walk according to that flesh, but according to that reborn human spirit that's on the inside of you, that is alive to God and has given you life. And if you listen to it, it will guide you right. It will help you. And if you say, well, I just don't seem to want to listen to it. And sometimes we sear our conscience. Ooh, well, how does that happen? Well, we stop listening to it, or we know what the Word of God says, what the Word of God says not to do, and we do it anyway. And then we keep doing it, and it gets a little easier. Yeah, maybe there's a little something inside. Say, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't, but we do it anyway. Hallelujah. And then we take another step and we keep going and we keep going, and pretty soon we sear the conscience and it doesn't even bother us anymore. And we know we're walking in our mind. We know we're walking against the law of God, but we just keep doing it because we've cut off the Spirit, because it's through the Spirit we crucify, we put to death, we mortify the deeds of this body, where they do not dictate to us anymore. So we go back to our prayer closet and stir ourselves up a little bit. And of course, what comes back to us? The same thing, right? That we were searing all along. It comes back a little bit. And, you know, well, I don't want that. So we stay away from church a little bit. Stay away from prayer a little bit more. Don't open our Bible too much, maybe a little bit. Oh, I want God, but I want this too. But God said, no, I don't want you to do that. I've already got to hear my word. That's not what I want you to do. Yeah, but that's what I want. That's what I like in my fleshly self. We get our emotions involved, we get ourselves involved, and pretty soon we can't even hear God. Because we seared our conscience in that area. I'm not saying every area, but maybe in that area. You say, well, how can I get that back? Well, we've got to talk to God. We've got to say, Lord, I need you to unsear me. I need you to help me, Lord, to get sensitive to my spiritual man again. I've let myself get slack, Lord. And I've allowed myself to not be as sensitive as I was. And Lord, I need you to forgive me. I need you to help me, Lord. I know I should be, Lord. And I see what your word says. That's what I really, really want. And sometimes it's a little bit of a fight for a while. And we know your flesh can fight you. The Bible says the Spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit. Hallelujah. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life, see, that's a law, in Christ Jesus made me free. Everybody say, made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the reborn human spirit that God brought life to on the inside of us. Well, walk according to our heart, to that new nature, to to the law of God that was placed on the inside, there is life. Hallelujah. There's good news in the house today. Hallelujah. So, we can, through the Spirit, it says, for if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Hallelujah. Some of the deeds of the body. Unforgiveness. I know drunkenness, all those things are part of it. Most of us aren't, you know, a lot of people in the church, well, some are, but most aren't really struggling so much with alcohol. You know, maybe some are smoking a little bit, but those are symptoms usually of something much deeper. Pain that we don't always want to look at. Things that the Lord's trying to heal in our heart that we want to hold at a distance. So all I'm saying today is let's open our heart. Let's open our spirit. Invite the Lord into every room. Let Him be King of the pain. Let Him be King of our confusion. Let Him be the Lord of each thing that we do. Amen. And begin to listen. If you haven't been listening, listen again. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you're born again. See, if you're not born again, you can't trust that voice in there. It lied to you. Because it's of a death nature. It's not of God. But we've been born of God. And you can now trust your spirit, man. You can trust that hunch on the inside. You can trust that direction. You can trust His word. Say, well, there's a lot of, sometimes we don't feel like doing things. And we have to decide we're going to do them anyway. Sometimes I don't feel like preaching. Well, Brother Doug, you're the pastor. I know. She said, well, what do? I yield to the Spirit. And I let my flesh die. Die, yeah. I don't give it place. I take those thoughts captive. And you do it anyway. You do it by faith. And you do it with God. And you let Him be all in all when it doesn't feel good. Sometimes we feel fear. Anybody here ever felt fear? What do? We do it afraid. Because we're facing fear. The Bible doesn't say you'll never feel fear. It says do not fear. That means don't let it rule your life. Don't let it dictate to you. Don't let your feelings overcome you all the time. You say, well, how am I going to change my feelings? Well, number one, with the Word of God. That's part of it. Getting, understanding what God wants. Secondly, knowing Him, right? I worship You, Lord. Glorify You. You are a Father that loves me. You are my Father. I've been born of God. I'm a new creation. I'm not the old man that used to live there. I'm not even that person that did those things. Hallelujah, because I've been changed and I've been cleansed by the blood. Paul said, I've wronged no man. Yet he had been a great murderer. Why? Because the blood is powerful enough to remove everything of the past. But we have to get our mind in line with what God said and allow our spirit to begin to come to the ascendancy to bring the fullness of the effect of the truth of who He is in you. Everything God is in you, to you, and through you begins to come forward when we yield over to that Spirit on the inside of us. We let Him pray for us in the Holy Ghost. We meditate on the Word of God and let Him take over our mind. And we begin to worship Him and let His presence consume us and know Him for who He is. The one that will not leave us or forsake us. The one that cannot lie to us. The one that will always love us with an everlasting love. That will see us through. That's going to be a good father to us, who will take us by the hand. And sometimes it's not always around something. It's not always over something. I don't just skip over it, but I go through it with him. And I allow him to teach me how I should act or how I should have acted. And we go through and we conquer and we do more and more. And he brings us to that place of full freedom in that area. And we're like, woo, glory to God. And there's a life, a newness that comes about. Because it doesn't matter who you are. We've all faced things in this world. Now, more of the older people say amen sooner. No. But we all face things in this world. And it's not small. If it happened to you, it's not tiny. God doesn't see it as small. God doesn't see it as insignificant. He sees it. But he'll see it with the truth of who he is. And how he can bring the death of it if you yield over to him. Let our spirit have the ascendance in our life. Amen. Amen. Glory to God forever. I better close my Bible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did you understand that today? You see what Paul was talking about. There is no condemnation because you're in Christ. You're already in Christ. There's no condemnation for you. No condemning sentence can be carried out over you. The devil cannot destroy you, cannot condemn you. The blood cries mercy for you. He already changed it. It's too late. You've been birthed into a kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And you belong to a Father that loves you. Glory to God. There's good news in the house tonight, today. Should say, this noon hour. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Woo, I preach past noon, so I better stop. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, that you will drive home this truth, Lord, and help us to be doers of that, Father, to allow our spirit man to be fed with the word of God, to begin to build it up, Lord, in prayer, and to know that you love us, Lord, as we worship you, that your love will be more and more alive on the inside of us. Our spirit will have the one, will be the part of us, Lord, that rules us. And we will listen on the inside and we will walk with you, Lord. Hallelujah. In that newness of life that you have given, that you have brought forth, Lord, we are conquerors. We never have to fail, Lord. You set us free from sin. Sin shall not have dominion over us, Lord, because we've been born of you. We've been born from above. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We worship you. We give you all the praise and the glory, Father. We ask you, Lord. We open our hearts, Lord. We say, Lord, touch me, Lord. Help me to deal with the places that hurt me, Lord. Help me to stop hiding from them, Lord, and open up to you. Because he's really the one that can be trusted. He can be trusted. It doesn't matter who the human is. A human can fail you, no matter who they are, how great they are, how wonderful you think they are. They could fail you. But God will never fail. He cannot fail you.